Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Mind Mastery and Manifestation. So today we've got a very special episode because it is just me. And if you heard the first of my personal story entries, it was also the last one where I gave the whole story leading up to me spending a year and a half in a Hindu spiritual cult, then you might be really curious about what happened there. I know that I've been receiving a lot of messages about just what happened there. What went down? Why was this experience so negative for other people and yet so positive for me? How is it that I spent a year and a half in a cult willingly? I mean, not brainwashed. It wasn't that I was duped. I knew what I was doing the whole time. Why is it that I went through this whole thing? Why did I stay in it for so long? What did I see? What did I experience? What did I do? What did I walk away with that changed my life forever, that improved my relationships, that led me to creating a multiple six-figure business, that changed the way that I see myself and see life on a permanent basis? Well, that's all going to be in this episode now. Just to warn you, I might have to break this into two different episodes. We'll see how long this goes because I'm not planning this out. This episode is going to be really just a retelling and no planning on it, which means no hiding, no holding anything back, which also means that this episode is not going to be for everyone. Like the last one, I put out a disclaimer that, well, this is going to be fairly unbelievable. If you are not a spiritual-minded person, if you do not consider yourself to be open-minded and adventurous, turn this off. This is not your episode. If you are particularly judgmental about things you do not understand, turn off this episode. This is not yours. But if you feel that you are capable of listening to something that sounds way off, that may conflict with your version of reality, that may bring up questions about reality, if you're down with all that, if you are open to new ideas, if you're adventurous, if you can withhold that judgment and join me on an adventure, then this is your episode. Because this is all real. This happened. And this episode is not me trying to convince anybody of what happened or whether it's possible. Because I don't care whether you believe in that. I really don't. It's not my business. My business is more to show you all the other sides of life, at least that I'm acquainted with, that may help you expand. You don't have to take them. You don't have to receive them. But I would like to present them to you. And that's where this episode comes in. So the last time, and if you didn't hear the last one, go back and check it out. The last time I brought you into my experiences of falling apart again, of healing my depression, and then trying to start a life, a new life for myself, and working with another coach as his head coach, and then realizing who he was, and that he was not a good mentor for me. And that he could not fulfill any of his promises to me. And that I now found myself in this position where I was quickly losing all of my savings, all of my money, and did not have any guidance on how to make any. I had already quit my corporate job, and I had been a very successful coach for other people, but I had no idea how to run a business. I didn't know how to find clients. I didn't know how to market myself. I didn't know anything about sales. I was just a really good coach. But as you may know, or as you may know from experience or just reading other people say it, no one cares if you're skilled if they don't know about you. No one cares if you're the best coach in the world if you can't make a business around it. You know what I mean? So I was in this weird position where I felt like for the first time, I wasn't depressed anymore, but I was headed towards a nervous breakdown because I'd never been so on my own. I know my parents could have supported me and they did help for quite a bit. And thank you so much, Mom and Dad. Or, you know, because I spoke Hebrew. That was my first language. Ima and Abba. It's Hebrew for Mom and Dad. So if you're listening to this, Ima and Abba, thank you so much for supporting me through this incredibly precarious and emotional and terrifying time of my life. And thank you for supporting me when I went into, well, the story you're going to hear. So my friend who saw how challenged I was and how bad I was struggling and how emotionally distraught I was recommended that I reach out to a guy I knew in college. We hated each other back in college, but we were both very different people back then. And since we had both graduated and moved away from each other, this guy had done quite a bit in real estate. But at the time, because of my, quote, mentor, you can see why we had an episode. Sophie and I did an episode way back on how to choose a good mentor. It's because both of us fucked that up. And we wanted you to learn from our mistakes and make sure that you pick someone who really is aligned with you. So if that is a question for you, go back and check it out. Again, way back. So he was focusing on real estate agents, so therefore so was I, because I was working for him and with him. And so my buddy suggested that I reach out to this old guy. You know, this, well, he wasn't an old guy, this old friend, I guess. We became friends. And let's just call him John. So John gets onto the phone with me and tells me a little bit about his business and what he's been doing and the fact that he helped two other coaches become very successful coaches. Went from zero to a six-figure business coaching real estate agents. I thought, perfect. Here's a guy who knows what I'm trying to do and has helped other people actually start their businesses so I could learn from him. And you know, TLDR on that one. I didn't learn anything about business from him. But what he did say is, look, Dan, I noticed that you're going through the ringer here emotionally. And are you open to getting some advice, to getting some help, some support emotionally? Because it doesn't matter whether you have these business strategies or whether you can make this work in your mind. You've got to have the emotional and cognitive balance and maybe even spiritual support to help you make it work. Now, before this moment, or before I went into this world, this new world of mine, I was not a spiritual guy at all. Now, I know this is weird because you've probably heard me talk before, and I'm all talking about energies and crystals and spirituality, manifestations, higher self, intuition and soul lives and all sorts of crazy shit like that. I didn't believe any of that stuff was real before. I thought it was all bullshit made by weak minds in order to help them understand the randomness of the universe. That's actually how I thought. I thought religion was bullshit. Spirituality was nonsense. It was just new agey, just meh. You know, believed in by hippies who couldn't quite figure out how to deal with life. And I was super closed-minded. So when he said spirituality, immediately I'm like, uh-oh, here's some bullshit coming my way. Great. But I was also desperate. And so he sent me a couple of videos of this Indian guy coming out in orange cloths, you know, and talking. And I hated the way that he spoke. Super slow and repeated himself a lot and took really big gaps, big silences in between phrases, not even in between sentences. And then the message, the content of the message that I got from him was shit that I had read before 1,000 times and I had heard it and yada, yada, yada. And I told John, dude, this ain't it, man. I appreciate it. I'm so happy that he's helped you in your life and that he's helpful for a lot of people, but this ain't for me. And he said, look, man, you know, maybe these videos aren't the thing. Maybe you need to go and actually experience it. Said there's a temple an hour away from where I lived then. Go there. Talk this to the sannyasis. Sannyasi is a word for, it's a Sanskrit word, I believe, for someone who has devoted their lives to the non-conflict life of essentially a monk. Go to the temple, he says, and speak with them. See what they say. Maybe they can give you more personalized insight and advice. And I thought, well, fuck, what do I have to lose? A couple hours of time? I don't know what to do with my time anyway. And if I just stay here freaking out, well, that's all I'm going to do, stay here and freak out. So I drove over there. And it was interesting. I walked in. And first of all, driving up there was not the greatest experience because this temple was attached to a strip mall that was across a parking lot from a Burger King. And in my mind, I'm like, this is a holy place. Like, this is for sure bullshit. I walked in and there were some other people there and they were telling me about this program. This program that their guru, the same person that I saw on video, and by the way, I will not release his name and I will not divulge any specifics of this program or of the cult because I don't think that it would be a great idea for many other people to participate in it. And whether it's this episode or the next, you're going to learn why. So I show up to this place and they're like, listen, there's this program that this guru does and it'll change your life. And so for me, and by the way, I still do this. I still look into everything, right? I have a very analytical mind and I need to know the facts. So I was asking these guys like, well, you know, what do you learn there? I'm like, well, you learn spirituality. I'm like, what does that mean? They're like, well, you learn about yourself and the universe. I'm like, I don't please use big fluffy words used by people who don't know what the hell they're talking about. Give me details. Give me specifics. Because you got to remember, I walked in there deciding that it was bullshit already. So it was very hard to convince me of anything. And this was just pushing me the wrong way. And I asked, okay, well, if you can't really give me the specifics, tell me about the results. What changed in your life? What did you feel after that you didn't feel before? Or that was amplified or changed or whatever? And no one seemed to have a good answer for me of that too. Their answers were really fluffy again. They're saying, well, you know, if I came back, I felt a lot less anxious, a lot less stressed. I felt more grounded, peaceful. I'm like, what is this? Because, oh, by the way, I think I forgot to say it. These programs, 3 weeks long, usually in India or Thailand or something like that. So you have to buy a flight, right? They also cost about $13,000 to go there. Add in the flight, add in the opportunity cost. I mean, it couldn't work. And that was a hell of a lot of money. And pretty much all of the money that I had in my bank, right? So this would have emptied me out. So this better be the solution that I was looking for. Because I'm like, yo, if I put all my money on this and this isn't what it is, I'm fucked. You know, that's it. So I'm like, I'm just not satisfied with this. I just feel more grounded kind of response. I'm like, well, you got to talk. You got to talk to some of the sannyasis here. You got to talk to some of the monks. I'm like, all right, cool. So I speak with one of them. Like, hey, you know, I'll be free in about half an hour. And I'd love to sit down and talk with you. So why don't you go into the temple room and check out the deities. Go meet the gods. And I'm like, great, gods. Like, perfect. You know, back then I had an issue with one god. You're trying to tell me multiple gods is going to make me feel better? All right, well, I have to stay here for half an hour. Might as well go in. I walk into this big room with these enormous stone and metal statues of Hindu gods and goddesses. And I walk in and my skeptic mind goes completely ballistic. And I'm walking around and I see off in one of the corners, there is a cardboard cutout of the guru that I saw on video. I'm like, ah, hero worship. This is wonderful. This is the guru worship that so many people told me to watch out for. And I walk up there and I see clothing and like these wooden flip-flops. They're called padukas, but they look like wooden flip-flops. And bangles and like something that looked like a cane. And I'm like, good God, these guys are collecting this guy's like hand-me-downs and praying to them? Oh, okay. Right? And I walk up to it. And at a certain point, I cross a threshold and I feel that energy. And this is where I left you guys in the last part, that I feel this energy. And I test it a couple times. I back up and I move in. I back up and I move in. And I feel the energy again in the same place. I take a couple steps around and back up and I move in, back up, move in. And it seems like there is a circle of energy that I could trace. It's like a force field, something that feels like static energy around this guy's clothing. And I'd never felt anything like that before. And then I went in and spoke with the sannyasi. I spoke with the monk and asked about it. and said, well, this is spiritual energy. And normally, I'd think, bullshit, that doesn't exist. But I felt it. It was undeniable. It was just something that I felt. And the thing is, I know how strong the power of belief is, right? The placebo effect. You believe in something enough, you want it to be true, but I did not, right? At least not fully. I know part of me was so desperate, I wanted anything. But this completely conflicted with my version of the universe. Like, it just wasn't real to me. But the more I talked with this person, the more I realized this is something that, well, look, I either had to go check, I had to go see this for myself and satisfy my curiosity and take a big gamble, or pretend like this never happened and go back. And I couldn't do that. Curious and desperate. That's a heavy combo. And so I decided to spend all of my money and go. Fast forward, I'm in Thailand, in this beautiful resort. And I get there, and I'm, you know, there are a few white people there. So that's interesting. There's like 700 people there, maybe 100 white folk, the rest Indian. And that was already very different for me. And I'm like, huh, is this even for me? And I'm there, and everybody's talking about the guru. And they're all just talking about different experiences. And like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Them talking about feeling energy and completing and these shifts and changes and how all these magic. It sounded like magic. These people were talking about miracles. In my mind, miracles don't exist. So I couldn't make sense of anything they were saying. And John walked up to me the next day at lunch and said, hey, man. Yeah, you seem a little lost here. I said, yeah, well, you know, they're talking about some pretty unbelievable shit, John. And I don't know what to make sense of it. And John had told me all sorts of stories leading up to me going, trying to convince me to go, telling me these incredible stories of this guru making things appear out of nowhere, of healing people, of chronic diseases and autoimmune diseases and cancer and making their eyesight better and making just lives change by sending energy their way. And I'm like, dude, I can't believe this. You're trying to tell me that people can see through walls? No. No, they can't. And John goes, well, I'm done trying to explain it to you. Let's give you a real experience of it. And he calls over a 9-year-old girl who had also been on TV a bunch, by the way, because of this kind of experience. He calls her over. Says, hey, can you demonstrate third eye reading? She goes, yeah, no problem. Looks at me and she goes, oh, you are doubting it, huh? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, all right, cool. We'll take a piece of paper and write or draw anything you want on it at all. And, you know, do whatever. Fold it up a bunch of times and put it in your pocket. And I'm like, one of my first jobs was as a sleight of hand magician. I know how this shit goes. So I walked away. I walked actually to a different room, wrote that stuff down, folded it up, and put it on my pocket. I walked back over to her, and then she blindfolded herself 3 times. And, oh no, I'm sorry, before she actually gave me the blindfolds to check, to make sure that I could not see through any of them. Then she blindfolded herself and said a little prayer, focused, and told me exactly what I wrote down on that piece of paper, which was a random collection of numbers, letters, and drawings, like a happy face and a butterfly and random stuff. And she was absolutely correct. I mean, absolutely correct. She could describe the fact that I have a jittery hand. I have a huge tremor in both hands. So when I draw things, there's a tremor in it. She even saw that and exactly where the jitters were. It's like she could really see it. And that was really impressive. Later on, we had our first meeting with the guru. And everybody is in a room and they tell us, you know, we're sitting on the floor, by the way. It's super uncomfortable for me because my hamstrings are super tight. Sitting on the floor and they're turning on music and they say, close your eyes and meditate. Prepare for the guru. And we sit there and wait. And we wait. And we wait. And we wait for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours sitting on the floor just waiting for nothing. And I am already skeptical. I'm like, why am I doing this? What am I going through? Why did I do this? This was a huge mistake. Music gets very loud. He comes up on stage and he stands there with a staff that looked like a trident. Later on, I learned that in Sanskrit it's called a trishul. But standing there smiling at people, and that's it. And every once in a while, he changes his behavior, makes a small wave with his hand, changes his posture, you know, looks a little bit around the room. But that's it. And people are losing their minds. I didn't see him really do anything, but people started whooping and hollering. Some people were crying. Some people were like really weeping. Some people were shaking. Some people, while sitting cross-legged on the floor, were jumping up and down and writhing. It looked, you know, it kind of reminded me of those evangelical, you know, meetings where the pastor or whatever they're called, you know, come down and I will heal you, right? And starts getting people talking in tongues and writhing on the floor. It seemed like voodoo. I didn't feel anything at all. And this went on for like an hour or two. And afterwards, everybody's talking about how great it was and what they saw and what they experienced. And I didn't feel anything. And so now I'm really wondering whether I made a huge mistake. And I'm super upset. And people are trying to calm me down. And I'm like, nope, this is bullshit. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. This is fucking nonsense. I can't believe that I spent all my money on this. I'm so screwed. And like, nah, you know, stay with it. Stay with it. Have faith. It'll happen for you. And the next day we have another meeting. And he comes up and he lectures a little bit. You know, the guru lectures a little bit. And then we have another one of those, I don't know, like a seance. It was so weird. Everybody's sitting around him and he's sitting around and making hand signals, waving his feet and smiling, and people are losing their minds. I didn't feel anything. At night, we had it again. And that is when things got very weird. So as I'm sitting there, he looks directly at me and puts up his palm, and I immediately started sweating and felt like there was a laser focusing in on my chest and on my head, and the heat was insane. I started breathing heavy and started feeling all sorts of crazy, like electricity in my body. And my body started shaking on its own as if I couldn't really control it. Complete, like a seizure. And it got more intense and more intense and more intense until I thought I was going to black out. I thought I was going to pass out right then and there. And he turned and he focused on someone else and then it subsided. And I had never felt anything like that. I never knew that that was even possible. But I'm thinking, you know, could be placebo. So I closed my eyes and then I felt it again. I felt tingling all over my body and I felt a rush of joy and elation from nowhere. And by the time he was done, I walked out of there feeling lighter, feeling like a weight had been lifted off of me. And I started thinking, this is what they were talking about. Maybe this is real. Maybe there is something to this spirituality thing. But I couldn't accept it because I'd lived my entire life thinking that it was bullshit. So I can't just have one experience and have everything turn around. And we were there for a month. So over the next couple of days, this kept on happening. We had two of those sessions a day. Sometimes we had three. And then the weirdest things started happening because we would sit down and he would say, great, you guys are all going to practice blindfold reading now. And we'd put on blindfolds and we'd have these cards with pictures on them. And we'd have partners who would hold up a picture and we would try to tell them what it was. And I'm thinking, how am I supposed to be able to do this? This is insanity. And there was a method. And when I tried it, first couple times, didn't really happen. Nothing really happened. And then they gave me letters and numbers. There's letters and numbers on a page. And I started getting them right because I started getting what I could only describe as intuitive pictures. I couldn't see anything. I had a blindfold on. But if I focused enough, there would be an image in my mind. I could see it and I would describe it and it would be right. And then I moved up to pictures and I wasn't right all the time. I wasn't very good at that. But the fact that I could be right at all, because these were complex pictures. It would be like a picture of someone in a field with a goat and a tree and like a lute. and I would be able to see it. Or it'd be a family of three people and one holding a trishul, and I could see it. Or a goddess, and I could see it. And this, I had no idea what to do with this information. I had no idea that this was possible, and here I was doing it, and I couldn't make sense of it. And the more experiences like this that we had, the more confused I became. Until one day when I was walking around, my vision stopped. I literally stopped being able to see because it went completely black. And then it looked like I was trying to see as if I was trying to steal cable. Black and white and staticky. And then it snapped into high def. All the colors were brighter. Everything was sharper. I could hear everything. I could feel everything. And then it went away. It went back to standard def. And I noticed for the first time that the way that I was seeing in my life up until that point was grainy and incomplete. The resolution was pretty low. The information that I was getting was pretty low. But I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what that was. And over the next couple of days, it kept on happening with increasing frequency. And the static would happen and then snap into high def. And the high def would last longer every time it happened. Until one day it stayed. And that was the moment that I began to feel energy off of people, off of crystals. I could feel it. Now, imagine this. Imagine growing up your entire life, knowing all of the colors that you see in every day. And then one day, you wake up and you see a different color that you had never seen before, that you didn't even know was real, that no one was really talking about to you. Some other people had talked about it because you'd never seen it. You thought it was bullshit. Maybe they were just colorblind. Maybe they were making things up. Maybe they just wanted to be special. And then one day you wake up and you see that color, but not only in one place, you see it everywhere. It's all over and it's beautiful. Imagine what your life would be like then, when you could suddenly hear sounds you'd never heard of, that you never knew was possible. You tasted things that you just never thought existed. Would it make you feel like you didn't really know what life was before? Would it make you think, what else do you not know? What else have you not experienced? What else is out there that you didn't even believe was real but is? See, that staticky snap into high def was my mind finally accepting spirituality. Because I couldn't deny it. I was living it. I was feeling it. There was only so much that I could hold on to my old way of being. But there came up much bigger questions. Well, if I was only experiencing a fraction of life before, what is my actual reality now? What is reality at all? And if that was what I based my identity on, right? We created identities from our experiences. Well, if our experiences are limited, aren't our identities limited too? And my mind went to, well, who the fuck am I? Who am I? Maybe I don't even know. Maybe that's up for question too. And I kind of lost my mind a little bit. Not in a bad way, but like I lost my old mind and started thinking and entertaining ideas that I never, ever thought I would. And man, that was so crazy because you met people there who could read minds. There were children who could read minds. There were people there who, if, for example, you just allowed them in, you gave them permission, they would be able to focus in on you and describe your home in such detail that it was frightening. They'd be able to say, well, you know, this is the layout of your home. This is where your bedroom is. This is where the kitchen is. You have this color fridge. You have this color furniture. You have this color carpet. You never make your bed. You left it messy. You have this, that, and the other. There are lots of these people. There are people who, if you just thought of a picture, they could tell you what it was. This is just insanity. There was another person there who could produce gemstones out of her mouth over and over and over. Perfect pearls, crystals, rubies, even little statues like figurines of goddesses would come out of her mouth over and over and over and over and over again for an hour. Now, either this person was incredibly skilled at swallowing items and then coughing them back up, or there was something there. But this was also a person who could hold your hand and tell you your deepest, darkest fear, which is super fucked up. And I thought I was ready for that. Turns out I wasn't, because she was right. I'd never spoken to her face to face before. There was no reason she could have any of this information. I never filled out a form of who I was to go there. I never wrote down my psychology. I never talked to anybody about this stuff. This is a fear that I had held deep in the recesses of my heart, hoping that no one would ever find it. And within about 30 seconds of just holding on to my hand, she spoke it. And then people telling me about how, you know, the more times they go back to these programs, the more money they earn, the happier they are, the more love they feel. And I believed it. That was the moment that I believed it. Now, there's much more to this story in this one experience, but I'll come back to that. This will have to be two episodes. So fast forward to the end of that program and me coming back home. And the fear that was there was not. Oh, I completely spaced on this. So because of all the stress and anxiety that I'd been feeling before I went to this program, I developed adrenal fatigue. Oh, man, the first of three times in my life, now that I think about it. And it's interesting because now as I'm recording this, I'm also healing from adrenal fatigue again. Not from stress and anxiety. Actually, I played way too hard this year. Went on vacations and I lived life too hard without sleeping and disrespected my body just a little too much with a lack of sleep and too much caffeine. But then, you know, it's so weird. The experience was very different. See, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how long it took. I didn't know that when you get adrenal fatigue, and even though you may have the best support from, you know, your mind to your body, functional doctors and energy healers and all the things that I go through now, it can take you months to heal from adrenal fatigue. You know, people die from adrenal fatigue. When I went to that program and I met that guru, my adrenal fatigue was healed within 2 weeks. And when I came back home, instead of drinking coffee multiple times a day just to get through the day, I started waking up at 4:30 in the morning to meditate and then go to the gym and start my day, and I never needed coffee. I was a beast. No anxiety, no stress, no fear, just concentration, just focus. And even though my money was still draining, I believed, I knew that the universe had my back. I knew that there was more out there. That I was more powerful than I thought, that I was more powerful than I ever believed, that I had forces beyond my understanding who wanted me to be successful, who loved me. And it gave me the strength to continue. It gave me the strength to finally break away from that old mentor and start on my own for real. And that's when I started making money and getting clients. And because of my faith and unwavering commitment to myself, and no matter how hard it was, that I would make it, that I would succeed, I did. And through my spiritual practices every morning, I was doing pujas then. Those are Hindu devotional ceremonies, gratitude ceremonies, prayer. I felt strong every day. And I kept on going back to the temple and participating in their events and in their ceremonies. And I never really felt better. It was in one of these meditations that I felt the last of my depression leave. Now, if you know any of my story, I'm sure you've heard me talk before, I'd been suicidally depressed for a long time. And I'd been making great strides with NLP and hypnosis and positive psychology and all the other tools, but adding spirituality was the last thing. And I knew that I had finally done it. That spirituality was the missing key, the missing link between me and the life that I really wanted, and that I would be okay. And for the first time, I really knew in my bones that good things happened to me, not just to other people, and that I would be okay, that I would be better than okay, that life, for the first time, looked like it would be amazing. And that's when I really decided that spirituality was for me, that it was not bullshit, that it was never bullshit, that it was medicine, that it was a solution, that it was healing, that it was loving, and that I would dig my heels in and I would research it and I would learn it and I would be it. And from that moment, 6 months later, I had a six-figure business. I had a life that I really loved. I was happy and healthy. I was thriving. for the first time in my life. And then, well, then things got dark. And I saw what was really going on in that cult. And that led me to leaving. But that part will be in part 3. I hope that you stuck with this and gave this story a chance. There is a lot more coming your way. And I'm going to have to Tarantino it a little bit, you know, dig into a little bit of that story that I just told you, fill in some of the details and take it forward so it'll all make sense. But I'd love to get your feedback. I'd love to know what your take is. I'd love to know what your experiences are with spirituality, or if you have any questions. I know a lot of people may have questions about cults, experiences, what happened there, or anything. Reach out to me. You can email me. You can hit me up on Instagram, @DanMendelo. You can hit me up on Facebook, Dan E.C. Mendelo. Let me know what your thoughts are. I'm an open book. Promise I will not be offended. Promise I will respond to you. I'd love to have a dialogue. I'd love to see where your mind is at. But for now, thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you for giving it a shot, for opening your mind up to something wholly unbelievable, and that maybe it is real. And until next time, so much love. Signing off. Take care.